This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
Let's provide growth. Let's provide a fertile environment for companies to come to New Hampshire and start companies in a non-hostile environment.
It's just an attempt to bring an income tax to the state of New Hampshire. And if the people don't have a voice in the true meaning of this hearing, then all is lost for the New Hampshire advantage is gone.
And the discussion on the LLC tax continues, where we provide continuing coverage here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse, 1-866-823-1077. You know, the first voice you heard in that clip was a gentleman who owns a car maintenance service. They go on the road and they help people throughout New Hampshire. A guy out of Nashua, that is. And he's concerned because he's growing. And he's said, and I played a couple clips of him before, you know, where he was talking about, I want to expand my business. I've got the paperwork on my desk right now to file as an LLC. But I dare not do it right now because of the uncertainty of what's happening. And I just want to, you know, make it known that I am, you know, still seeking out other opinions here on Bulldog Live. And I've yet to hear it back from any of my invitations to the other side of the debate. And tomorrow I will be talking with Executive Counselor Ray Burton, who's going to talk about what's next, because some people appear to be shifting their focus on getting the Executive Council members to ask for more public hearings, because it seems like neither the governor's office nor the Department of Revenue Administration are responding to calls for more hearings in the southern part of the state. So we'll keep you updated on that, because right now there are three hearings that are scheduled for the North Country for January, and you can find that list on my website at briantilton.com. Click on the LLC tax page, as many of you have done. I've seen the number of hits on that go way up practically overnight. So I'm glad you're using that as a resource to find out more information. 1-866-823-1077. Now, joining us in studio is Bob Clegg, former state senator. He's from Hudson. And Phil Blatzos, who's the former commissioner of the Department of Revenue Administration. They're here to talk about a new organization, the Small Business and Small Industry Association. Gentlemen, welcome to Bulldog Live.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So I chatted with you both over the last week or two on the issues relating to the LLC tax. So I guess we should talk a little bit more about that first. Then we'll talk about your organization and what you're doing to fight this, among the other causes you're taking up. So, Senator Clegg, you know, this is everybody's identifying this as an income tax.
Well, and it is an income tax. It's an income tax. It's 13.5% income tax to the small business person, whether it's a limited liability partnership or an association. It's a tax that the corporations don't have to pay. They call it leveling the playing field. The only thing I see it as is doing away with any possible corporate competition. And when I say that, you know, every time we have a recession, the first place that the first thing that happens is a lot of people that get laid off become their former employers' meanest and toughest competition, because they're the ones that actually got the product out and the thing to do. I half think that part of this was that there was an attempt to make sure that anybody who thought they might be able to compete with a former employer would walk away and not do it in the state of New Hampshire, because who can afford a 13.5% income tax? None of us can. When you look at all that the legislature did to us under the current budget, they, in the middle of the night, put a 9% tax on people who bring their own rooms and their own meals to the state, and that's the campgrounds. They did the limited liability companies, the partnerships, and the associations at 13.5% income tax. And they also put a tax of $25 on every machine that's operated on a time basis with a coin. Not that they're going to demand that every coin give you 3 minutes or a half a minute. It's just that they wanted to come up with some more money. In fact, when they went to the rules, JELCAR, with the rules to implement the $25 license, they said, why in the world did you even do this? And they said, well, it's something that the executive branch forced us to do. They told us to raise $500,000. This does it. We hire four people and raise $500,000 doing something that doesn't need to be done.
Yeah, right. Well, JELCAR, for anybody who may be unfamiliar with that term, that's the Joint Legislative Committee on Administrative Rules. They're the ones who actually, ironically, the LLC tax, once DRA finalizes the rules, goes before this legislative committee for either up or down, or I guess that's pretty much it, right?
Well, pretty much it's an up or down vote. They have the ability to keep sending them back until they get it right, and then they have the ability to put in a final formal objection, which would go before the House and the Senate, where they could both say that these rules are ridiculous. But I believe by that point, the legislature will already have said the midnight tax on mom and dad is way out of line, and it'll be gone anyway.
Yeah, and Commissioner, I mean, have you ever seen this type of action before, passing taxes in the middle of the night like that without a hearing?
No, this is a rare one. This is a very rare one. It's there's no public input. You got to remember that it's the public input that really makes these things work, because, you know, you sit in a corner with a group of like-minded people and you always come out with one result. And then when one person who thinks a little bit differently gets into the group, we've all had this happen to us, they walk in and explain why it doesn't work. So think of all of the theories in physics that don't work because that third person walked in the room. Now we have a great theory in tax that doesn't work because the third person walked in the room, the SBSIA.
Yeah, well, and that's where this organization, because as I mentioned, you know, people kept asking me, and I've talked with a lot of business owners over the last few weeks. I can't keep track of how many I've talked to. And one of the common questions that comes back to me is, well, who's really fighting this? Who's standing up? And I said, well, first of all, it's you, you know, the individual business owner. But as far, I think they're looking for an organization that's taking charge of the situation. And that's where you two come in.
Well, that's where we come in. But I want to point out that Andy Sanborn and Andrew Hemingway actually started the fight. SBSIA was coming in because we watched for a whole year where a big industry association, the BIA, did absolutely nothing and actually enhanced the ability of the current administration to hit the little guy. And also the National Federation of Independent Businesses walked away from New Hampshire. They had the lobbyists come in to two or three bills this year, and we pulled the information on it. And both times NFIB sat down and said, well, we really don't have an opinion, but we hope you think about small business. And we said, you know what, we tried for a year to get both of them to actually come in and do something. Neither one of them would. So SBSIA started, but Andy Sanborn's actually was the first one, and he's from the draft right here in Concord. He's the first one to say, I can't afford another tax.
Yeah.
And he called all the groups together, including Grocers of New Hampshire and the Restaurant and Lodging Association, too.
Yeah, exactly. And I've spoken with the Retail Merchants Association. I know they got some involvement, too, right now. But, you know, basically, yeah, this is one of those things that I think could have been prevented.
It really should have been prevented. And one of the main things that I think has been lost in all this, and I don't think I've done a good job of explaining it at any point in time, was, you know, what creates jobs is investment. All right. People have to invest money and then you get jobs out of it. Like the person you talk to who wants to invest more in the state of New Hampshire and grow his business. But yeah, that requires what they call an irreversible investment. You put money into this. If you invest in one of these big corporations, all right, and get a dividend out of it, all right, the maximum federal tax rate on that dividend is 15%. Now, even if you pay the interest and dividends tax on that, the total tax burden on that is 20%, 15, 5. All right.
Yeah.
Right now, when you're looking at an LLC and you want to invest in that, remember the maximum tax rate on that is 35%. And you add to that the 5%, it's 40%. So attracting investment to the guys who are going to create jobs is next to impossible. Now, you got to think even broader. Now, we got 55,000 people out of work right now in the state of New Hampshire. I think that was the last number I heard, 55,000.
That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, they got plenty of time to think about this, and I hope they do. If you think about that, now 42% of the public, according to the Employment Security Office, is employed by businesses with 50 or less. Probably the lowest number you're going to call small business, usually 250. But let's take 50 or less, all right? And that's small business. That's 42%. Now 42%, we've just given a real hard time for them to grow jobs. Now big business, these big guys who we were talking about who got the big dividend break from the federal government, and they pay 5% here to the state, so they're paying half as much.
Yes.
So remember now, the small business has got to get a much greater return on investment to even level the playing field, to even play in the same ballpark, never mind level the playing field. So we've just made it more difficult for the small guy who's going to hire people. We talk about a jobless recovery. Well, the Chinese economy is starting to recover right now. Why? Because big business is hiring in China. So if you speak Mandarin and you're ready to move, you can have a job. But here in the United States, because big business is moving all their jobs overseas, most of our job growth is coming from this small business. They're 95% of the businesses, all right,
yeah,
producing 42%. And that number's only going to climb. And I think it goes well over 50% when you think about now what I have in front of me is the state's annual report every year. They do an audit report, and hidden in the back of the audit report, page 117, if you're interested, you can actually look and see who the biggest employers in the state are. And in 2008, 3% of the state was the state. It was actually the state was the biggest employer. And then you have Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center, who's not paying business profits tax or any other business taxes. They're 1% of the state, 1.08 if you want to.
That's because they're considered nonprofit, right?
Right, because they're a 501c3. The University System of New Hampshire, an arm of the government, so to speak, they're 1% of the state. And you take another percent out for Dartmouth College and all the other ones, and now that's 6%, almost 6% out of the state. So you can see why I say they're 50% of the state, because half of the state isn't paying taxes. So these are the people who are really creating jobs, all right, and these are the ones we can count on. The rest of them are creating jobs in China. So if you speak Mandarin, you got it made. But if you speak English and you want to stay here in New Hampshire and live the good life, you're getting hurt today. You're getting hurt bad because these guys can't compete for capital.
Exactly. And you look at the people who are employed by these small businesses, and where do those people go? Well, they go shop at their local merchants right around the corner on their lunch break, or they'll have their lunch at the local business shop, bringing in rooms and meals tax, bringing in business taxes to the other occupations as well. So, I mean, really, there is a lot of revenue, residual revenue, the state's not recognizing
but,
in this.
But the small business guy is also the guy that's going and he's bringing the toys to tots.
Yeah.
He's supporting the local charities, the food kitchen. Every time there's a call by one of the pantries, it's the local business guy that's going in there. It's the small mom-and-pop guy that's going in there and doing what they can, mainly because, as someone said, what about those days when I slept on the floor of my establishment and I ate ramen noodles? And these guys, when they make it, never forget where they came from. So as we start pushing them out, not only are they not creating jobs, but they're no longer going to have that money. When you take $30 million from small business over a two-year period, that's $30 million that they're not spending someplace else. Part of it's going to be the charitable events that they're not going to go to, and the other part's going to be all the things that you just said, the sandwiches at the local deli, the new truck, the new lawnmower, the new whatever isn't going to be purchased because now government's taking that money from them.
Exactly. And, we have – I don't know what the percentage breakdown is here on our station, but the businesses that advertise here – I would guess at least 90-95% of them are these real small businesses. You know, our grocery store here on the Pulse, it's not one of the big chain supermarkets. It's Quality Cash Market right here in Concord, you know. So that's an example. And you mentioned helping charities. We've had dozens, despite the economic times and despite the a lot of hardships that are out there, we still had dozens of our sponsors stepped up to help out with the Toys for Tots campaign. They were partners with us on finding toys for needy children. Yeah, it was great. And I think we probably had a few more of those sponsors this year than we have in years past.
And I'll bet you if you look at their tax returns, you know, the big corporations, for all the good they do good, but they all have that little deduction over on the side that says I gave $10,000. All those little mom and pops, they give out of their own pockets. They don't look for the federal government or any other government to give it back to them. That's truly charity out of their own pocket, out of their own hearts. So we start to lose that. And I know we're going to start to lose it because the other night at dinner, I had two different companies come up to me. One said, I'm becoming a resident of the state of Florida. I'm going to move my office down there. I'll still have my house up here in New Hampshire. And another one said, I just got done talking with the state of Massachusetts. And with your 13.5% tax on my income versus their 5.65, whatever he said, and their little incentives for me to move, he said, I'm moving my company down in Massachusetts in February. That's the result of them saying, oh, this just makes everything equal. It sure does. And the state of Mass says, thank you.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number. Call in with a question of former Department of Revenue Administration Commissioner Phil Blatzos, former Senator Bob Clegg. They're both involved. They both formed the Small Business and Small Industry Association. We'll talk about that structure in just a minute. We want particularly business owners to call in with their questions, too, about how this organization may be able to help them in this fight as well, probably other fights that are coming up in the next session of the legislature. Here on Bulldog Live with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on the Pulse.